Hello and welcome to KLAA Community Cares, a program that helps us understand the needs in our community and introduces us to experts and organizations who are trying to make positive changes in Southern California. With your host, Tammy Trujillo.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of Community Cares. Well, I'm crossing my fingers starting off here and hoping you haven't come down with the flu. Oof, it's flu season. We have COVID still circulating. And you may have started hearing about RSV. Now, what the heck is that? They're all out there right now, and it's important to be aware. It's important to think about your vaccinations, and it's important to understand what to do if you start feeling badly, because, well, we've kind of got a trifecta going on right now, but maybe it's not as bad as we think. We have an expert with us. His name is Anil Venugopal, and he is the director for infectious disease for Optum in Mission Hills. And Anil, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Tammy.
And I am using your first name, but I want to make sure everybody knows you are a physician. It is Dr. Venugopal. Give us your background. Let's find out what you have been up to.
Sure. So I am a physician, and I'm double board certified in internal medicine and infectious disease. And I've been working with Optum now for about 9 years. And primarily, I work out of the Valley in Mission Hills.
Okay. Now, when you're certified in infectious disease, that means you have gone past the normal schooling for a doctor, and you specialized in infectious diseases. What kind of schooling does that mean? I want people to understand what that means when you're really specialized in an area.
Oh, sure. So basically, after I finished med school, I did a residency in internal medicine, which is a 3-year program. Mm-hmm. And then following that, some people might specialize in cardiology or nephrology, like kidney diseases. But myself, I chose to focus in infectious disease. So it was an additional 2 years of fellowship training that I did.
That's a lot of schooling. That's a commitment. That's really...
It is.
That's real. No, it's impressive, though. Why infectious disease? What got your interest piqued?
You know, it kind of goes back to when I was in medical school. I just had an inclination towards the microbiology side. Mm-hmm. And I saw some really cool cases when I was going through my schooling. And it just got me thinking, like, this is what I'm interested in. It's a very cerebral specialty where it involves a lot of thinking and investigation. And I just knew that that's where I wanted to focus.
Mm-hmm. To me, it seems a little scary because you're dealing with some very, very frightening things.
Yeah. Fortunately, I'm not too concerned about catching anything. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm a little ignorant, but it allowed me to go and focus on it without any fears. So it's been great.
Well, I've always wanted to talk to a doctor and ask them about that because, I mean, you are up close and personal with a lot of issues. And from a layperson's standpoint, it's like, oh boy, that is a little scary. Well, let's talk about our season right now. We are at the very tail end now of October. We've just really started getting into flu season. Is that pretty much how the calendar runs?
Yeah, basically, influenza is considered to be a seasonal disease. So it happens more commonly, or we see more cases of it starting in November. Mm-hmm. And then it usually goes all the way through the end of April. Now, that can vary. Sometimes it might start a little earlier. Sometimes it might start a little later. What's different right now is that there's two other prominent circulating viruses. So we're now starting to call it, instead of flu season, calling it respiratory viral season, because we're also talking about COVID-19 and respiratory syncytial virus.
You know, a lot of people have been celebrating. I don't mean with a party, but they're saying, hey, COVID's over. We're back to normal. Everything's great. COVID is not gone. COVID is still here. How much is COVID to be worried about nowadays?
It's a great question. The thing about COVID is, you're right, it hasn't really gone away. What has changed is how it's interacting in the community, because while the virus is continuing to mutate and variate, people are more vaccinated now than they were in the very beginning. And people have also been exposed to the actual virus and infection. So the immunity within the community is a little bit different now. So the way it affects people has really changed compared to early on.
Mm-hmm. But are any of these three something where we can just say, "Ah, you know, not going to get sick," or are these things that we really need to pay attention to?
I don't think we can just say like, "Oh, it's not a big deal anymore," because the situation really varies depending on the person, because a lot of these infections can affect people differently depending on their underlying conditions or what medications they might be taking. And some people can get a lot more ill than other people can.
Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, we heard that phrase, underlying conditions, over and over and over. Can you give us a better idea of what that really means? Because it was rarely explained. And what underlying conditions are we talking about in general? I know there's probably quite a few.
There are. You know, some of the people that are most susceptible to different infections or illnesses like COVID and flu are people that are over the age of 65, so your older populations, or your really young populations, like those less than 2 years of age. But we also know that people with certain conditions are more susceptible, like ladies that might be pregnant, people with certain underlying diseases like poorly controlled diabetes, people that are obese, people that have asthma or emphysema, people with underlying heart disease, people with cancer who are on chemotherapy. But then we also know that some race and ethnic groups also are more susceptible to these infections and can have worse outcomes.
Mm-hmm. So pretty much it's anything that affects your health, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if we just want to give it a general name, it's anything that really affects your overall well-being. When we talk about seasons, now COVID doesn't seem to have much of a season, but flu has, as you mentioned, a season. Why does it have a season? Another question I've always wanted to get an answer to. Where does it go when it's not being a problem?
You know, that's a great question. To go back, you're right. COVID doesn't seem to be exactly seasonal yet. Mm-mm. It does seem to peak in more of what we call a bimodal pattern right now, where it happens almost twice a year, usually in the summer and then towards the fall and winter. It is much more established where it starts to peak or increase around November, and then it wanes off by the April. Where does it go? There's actually cases of influenza circulating throughout the year. We just see the peak number of cases during that time frame. And a lot of that has to do with during the winter, it's colder, people are spending more time indoors, the air might get drier. There's a number of different factors that just increase transmission or the spreading of the disease between people. So we start to see an increase in cases during that time of year.
Okay, so it's not really a season. It's how we're behaving that is allowing it to be more prevalent, it sounds like.
Exactly. In different parts of the world that don't have the same climate that we do, it acts a little bit differently too.
You know, that makes sense. Now, every year we talk about strains of the flu. We've heard about different strains of COVID. We know that it does morph and there's all kinds of different names for the strains. But flu also has strains. And what does that actually mean? Because it's still under the heading of flu.
Right. So it's almost like there's two subgroups of flu, or what we call serotypes. So there's influenza type A and influenza type B. And then even within that A and B designation, there are differences in those viral strains. And the differences usually during flu season will have one of those strains being the predominant one that's causing the most disease. But that doesn't mean that the other ones aren't causing disease in the community. It's just not the predominant one.
I see. We always, when the vaccinations come out and the flu vaccine is out, we talk about whether it's effective this time around. Did it hit the right strains? How do they know what strains to make the vaccine each year?
It is like trying to predict what's going to happen in the future. So fortunately, because it is seasonal, influenza starts to affect us more in the northern hemisphere at a different time than it does in the southern hemisphere. So often what we do, and by we, I mean like the CDC, the WHO, they monitor activity in the southern hemisphere to predict what might actually happen in the northern hemisphere. And based on that, they'll make changes or subtle variations in the vaccine to try to predict what's going to be the predominant virus this year.
Wow. If we get a ballpark, how often is that successful? Pretty spot on?
It varies from year to year. Like, truthfully, I think in any given year, usually the vaccine is somewhere between 40 and 60% effective in protecting people or reducing severe illness. But again, it varies because sometimes there can be a major change in the virus that doesn't match the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said reducing the severity of the illness, and I want to talk about that because just because you get your flu shot or your RSV, and we're going to talk about that, or COVID, it doesn't mean that you have a suit of armor, that you're not going to get it. But it can help you not get it so badly. Is that correct?
Exactly. There's a few vaccines that'll actually prevent you from getting that illness. Mm-hmm. But with things like influenza, COVID-19, RSV, a lot of times what it's going to do is just reduce the severity. So by priming your immune system, your body is more adapted to respond to the virus. So instead of having a really severe illness, it might be a lot more less in severity, essentially.
Mm-hmm. So you won't get as sick, you won't be sick as long, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Like your symptoms won't be as bad, and it might not progress to the point where you end up in the hospital.
Well, nobody wants that. We're so used to talking about these things that we don't really think about that as the outcome, especially with flu. I mean, we've talked about flu since we were all small children, but this is a serious subject. You can end up in the hospital and you can pass from the flu.
Oh, absolutely. Depending on how bad the flu season is every year, mm-hmm. there can be anywhere from 100,000 to 700,000 people that get admitted with the flu
wow.
throughout the United States, and up to sometimes 50,000 people might actually die in any given year, including like 100 to 200 kids.
Wow. I will speak from experience. We had a very, very good friend a couple of years ago, and she got the flu. You know, we all said, you need to go to the doctor, and she wouldn't go. She said, I'm fine. I'm just resting and doing all those home remedies, if you will. And she passed, and it was shocking. The worst part now was that it didn't have to happen. But she just felt like, you know, I just don't want to go out. That was what she kept saying. I just don't want to go out. And we lost her. She's a wonderful woman.
It is really sad because when I see things like this happen in the hospital mm-hmm. and then I hear that they decided not to get the vaccine or they've never got the vaccine, mm-hmm. it always makes me feel a little bit sad because it's like this could have been preventable, uh-huh. right? And it might not have ended up the same way if we had done something a little bit different in the past.
Yeah, what a waste. Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Community Cares. Come back. We're going to talk about how you try to get a handle on what is going on. Is it the flu? Is it COVID? Is it RSV? When do I need to go see my doctor or go to the hospital? Try to get you a game plan here because we are just entering flu season. We don't know if it's going to be a tough one or not. So we're back in just about a minute here on AM 830 KLAA. Stay with us. Welcome back to Community Cares. We are trying to keep you healthy today here on the show. We have got flu, COVID, RSV. They are circulating. And, you know, we're getting toward the holidays. Lots of fun stuff coming up. You don't want to be flat on your back in bed, sick with any of them. So we're going to talk today in the second half of the show about what to watch out for and what to do if you start to feel just a little bit under the table. Anil Venugopal is with us. He is the director for infectious disease for Optum in Mission Hills. And Anil, okay, here we go. Everybody gets tired around this time of year. We're busy, busy, busy. But what are we keeping an eye out for in terms of how we really feel and symptoms that we should start to worry about?
That's a great question. So with all three of these diseases, with influenza, COVID-19, and RSV, they all are viral respiratory illnesses. So they all present with symptoms that involve usually your throat and your lungs. Mm-hmm. So people might have fevers or chills. They might have a cough or shortness of breath, sore throat, runny nose. It could just be fatigue, headache, even other nonspecific things like nausea or vomiting or even diarrhea.
So the gamut?
Everything, basically.
No.
If you're feeling unwell, it might be that. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no. Does it matter if we put a label on it, or should we be more worried about COVID or RSV or flu, or just say, okay, I don't know what it is, but I'm not feeling well, and then what should we do?
You know, it actually does make a little bit of a difference. And the reason I say that is because as we mentioned before, certain people are more at risk for developing severe illness. So your older patients, your young patients, your people with certain conditions. And we actually have specific treatments available for both flu and COVID-19 that can reduce the severity of illness and make sure you don't progress to becoming more severe. And if those get started in the appropriate time frame, that really can change how quickly you get better.
Well, how quick do we have to move? Because I'm one of those people, if I feel bad, I might take a day and just see if it goes away. Or should we be jumping on this?
I think part of it depends on how sick you're actually feeling, mm-hmm. and your other underlying conditions. But essentially, with flu, the medications work best when they're started within 2 days of being sick. And for COVID, you can usually wait up to 5 days and still have like a pretty good benefit from taking the medication.
All right, so maybe you do wait that day and you're still feeling pretty crummy. Trying to get a doctor's appointment is not the easiest thing in the world these days. How should you proceed here if you really think, okay, something's up, I need to do something based on the windows you just gave us, but how do you proceed?
The best thing to do probably would be to contact your physician's office mm-hmm. and let them know you're not feeling well. And ideally, if they can get you in, some of them might actually offer testing in their office that'll uh-huh. let you differentiate whether it's flu or COVID-19. In other situations, they might say, you know what, it's best if you go to an urgent care or even to the ER, depending on how sick you're actually feeling. And then they could do the testing and follow up.
And the testing, they'd be able to find out right then and there pretty much where you are?
Correct. There are like rapid tests, mm-hmm. kind of like we do with the COVID-19 tests at mm-hmm. home. There's tests like that for flu. There are even tests like that for RSV, honestly. But those often can be done in the office and usually you can get a result in 10 to 15 minutes.
Well, that's reassuring. You know, we've all been kind of on heightened alert, I think, for the last 3 or 4 years. We've never experienced anything like we just went through. And although things have settled down, a lot of people think life has gone back to normal. I think we all have a little bit different appreciation for what's going on.
No, I agree. I think people are more aware of illness nowadays and more aware of like what's out there. And then there's just a lot more news and information available now too about these things.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've mentioned the word RSV a couple of times. It's not new, but it's new that we're hearing about it. There are TV commercials about it. It's grouped into this COVID flu. What exactly is RSV and what makes it different?
So RSV, like you said, it's newly in the media, but mm-hmm. it's not really a new disease. You know, it's a virus just like flu and COVID that's been around for a long time. But previously, we never had vaccines available or monoclonal antibodies that could be used to try to prevent illness. Mm-hmm. Before, it was just something where if you got sick, we just managed your symptoms. Even now, we don't really have specific antiviral medications or antibiotics for RSV. We only have vaccines that are newly available.
Mm-hmm. Ideally, people should be getting all three of these vaccines?
Ideally, if they're eligible for the vaccine, yeah. Mm-hmm. Realistically, influenza and COVID-19, we recommend it for everybody 6 months of age and older, mm-hmm. but the spectrum for people that should be getting RSV vaccines is a little bit more narrow. Essentially, right now, it's approved for use in people over the age of 60 years of age that are more at risk. So it really is based on a conversation you have with your physician based on your underlying medical conditions. Mm-hmm. But there's also an indication for one of the vaccines in pregnancy to try to protect the infant, because RSV is notorious for causing pretty severe illness in newborns and infants. So by vaccinating the mother at the end of her pregnancy, you can actually protect the child so they don't get as sick that first year.
Wow. Now, I have never heard of anything like that. Is that something rather revolutionary or have I just missed it?
There's a couple diseases we do that. One is influenza. We always recommend that pregnant women get vaccinated with influenza to try to protect the newborns. And then the other one is pertussis, or the Tdap vaccine. Mm-hmm. So we always recommend every pregnant woman in their pregnancy gets the Tdap vaccine, and that helps provide immunity for the infant against pertussis or whooping cough.
Wow. Well, in addition to vaccines, how can people stay or do their best to keep from getting sick as we move into the height of the flu season and so forth?
The number one way to prevent illness against both influenza and COVID-19 mm-hmm. is really to go get vaccinated and stay up to date on your vaccinations. You know, we recommend a vaccine for everybody 6 months of age and older for both influenza and COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And we always do that annually for influenza. And then this year we just got a new updated vaccine for COVID-19, which they're calling the 2023-2024 formulation or dose. The other thing to do is, you know, avoid sick people, right? Yeah. Wash your hands. Like once you go out in public and are touching things, wash your hands with soap and water. Avoid touching your eyes and your nose and your mouth. And then if you're around people that are sick, make sure that you're cleaning those high touch surfaces like door handles and tables and things if somebody was in your house that had the flu.
We've gotten out of that kind of habit, haven't we? I'm no longer seeing hand sanitizing stations or the little bottles on counters. We kind of dropped back from that.
Yeah, it's still good practice mm-hmm. and it's still really effective at reducing your chance of getting sick from a lot of different illnesses. So it's not something we really want to let go of, honestly.
I'm surprised that we did. At the height of COVID, obviously, they were everywhere. Frankly, I thought they were going to stay. I thought that maybe people had kind of gotten to understand that we are kind of vulnerable. Are you surprised that they've disappeared?
Yes and no. I think a lot of it just has to do with fatigue mm-hmm. from dealing with all this, that some people just want to kind of move on. But truthfully, like for me, for my family, for my patients at Optum, I still recommend all these things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, carry your hand sanitizer, make sure you're washing your hands before you start eating or before you start touching your face and your nose and things like that. Because whatever you can do to prevent illness is always better than trying to treat illness.
Yeah, nobody wants to be sick. It is definitely not fun. I have kept on my desk an little air purifier. I spent the money during the height of COVID, got a good one that's well recommended. Are those effective in really helping, or are we just kind of putting them there and making ourselves feel good?
You know, it kind of depends on your situation as far as like who's in your airspace, how close are you to them, mm-hmm. like how big is the room, things like that. I mean, it can be helpful in certain situations, but I don't know if I could give a blanket statement. It's effective for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, why not? My husband coined a phrase, he wears his mask even now. He's really become very vigilant. His statement to people are saying, why are you doing that? He said, look, if it keeps me 1% safer, I'm going to take it. That's been his mantra now for a couple of years. You know, I kind of like it.
No, I agree. I mean, anything you can do to prevent illness, it's always better than trying to deal with it after the fact, right?
Mm-hmm. The thing I think to remember from our conversation today is if you start to feel sick, do something. Call the doctor. Go to ER. Do something. Don't just think it will go away.
Exactly. And most healthy people, like these viral illnesses might pass in just a couple of days without mm-hmm. doing anything at all. But if you do have those underlying conditions, if you are on the extremes of age, then it's definitely better to get this headed on straight away so you can do something about it early on. Because like I said, these treatments are more effective when they're mm-hmm. given up front. And it's even better when you get the vaccine beforehand before even getting sick.
Just hedge your bet a little bit. Vaccines, all three of these are available to the right people. There's no shortages. We're able to get them pretty widely.
Yes and no.
No, that's fine.
It depends on where you're going. But I think, checking with your pharmacy, checking with your physician's office, seeing wherever you can get them, now is the time to do it. We mm-hmm. always want to try to get vaccinated before the actual onset of season. And we're just starting to see increases in what we call our influenza-like illnesses. So people presenting with those respiratory symptoms like cough and shortness of breath. So if you can get vaccinated now is the time to get it. So your body has enough time to prevent illness before the actual peak of flu season or COVID season or RSV.
Or all three.
Exactly.
Or all three. All right. If you are looking for information, if you go to your LA County or Orange County or Riverside County, San Bernardino, wherever you are, your county health website will have information for you. Your doctor has information. Your pharmacy has information. The information abounds. The takeaway from today is get your vaccinations, and if you feel sick, get some help. Anel, thank you so much. You shed a lot of light on this in a non-scary way, and hopefully people will take your advice.
Thank you so much for having me. And like I said, now's the time to go get your vaccine. So get out there, protect yourself so you can protect your family and protect everybody you care about.
Sounds like the best plan we've got. Anil Venugopal, he is the Director for Infectious Disease for Optum in Mission Hills. We'll catch you next week here on Community Cares, and please stay safe.